Hi, everybody. How are you all? That's awesome. Me too. So basically, tonight is my first night ever speaking like completely by myself at something. Oh, cool. Yeah, that's cool. Cool. Yeah. So often, like I've spoken at things before, but always like in a tag team. And so I thought that was good, like having someone else to go off and things. But when you do it by yourself, like you don't need to tell anyone that you haven't started until like a week before. So I didn't do that, but just like for future reference, if you're wondering. So when I was first asked, probably last term, to do this, they told me it would be a Christmas sermon. And I was like, oh no, sorry, I didn't mean to say it like that. Christmas sermon, basically there's one thing you can talk about. And so I was like, what am I ever going to do? Like, no one's going to listen to this. And then they were like, Joe, like we've had a change of plans. It'll actually be a gospel message. It's like, sweet, gospel message. Like, pretty much only one thing you can say there too. So if you don't know, the gospel is the life of Jesus written in the Bible. And it's awesome. And it basically says that he came as a baby, fully human, fully man, was born into this earth, lived for 30 years, worked for 3 years doing crazy, crazy things, and then died on a cross and rose again. And then like just floated on up. So that's like the gospel. So if you haven't heard it, that's what it is. I'm going to hopefully expand a little bit because that's like not it. I'm not finished. So that's my first dot point. So anyway, so if you don't know it yet, Jesus loves you. You can have eternal life with him if you believe that he is Lord and Savior. And that's awesome. So I'm going to start tonight by talking a little bit about names. So names are one of the only thing that every single human has in common. Every human has a name. And there's not many things that every single human has. So that's awesome. But I realized when earlier this year I studied overseas, I lived in England for a little while, and then I traveled, basically just like made a fool of myself around Europe. And I realized that Australians shorten things like a lot, and I didn't even realize. And so I talk like a little 12-year-old. I'm like, OMG all the time. If I'm texting you, I'm like, lol, OMG, can't believe that, BRB. But like, we don't just shorten things when we text, we actually say it a lot. So one day when I was studying overseas, my friends, we had this loop that we walked around every day. It's called the loop. So we went and walked the loop, and my friend was like, oh, it's so sunny out. I was like, yeah, just wait for me. Like, I'll just grab my sunnies. And then she like lost it. Like, she was laughing so hard. She was like, Joe, what did you just say to me? What? And I was like, I need to grab my sunnies. Like, what is that? That's my sunglasses, Michaela. Like, what are you talking about? So there's lots of things Australians shorten that I don't even think we realize we shorten. But we do. And one of those things is names. I'm like always giving people nicknames. I'm really sorry if I do it and you don't like it. Like sometimes I do it and I feel like it's not appropriate to do it. After I go and reflect on it, I was like, Joe, you didn't know that person. Like you shouldn't have been calling them like Muffin or something. Anyway, this is not written down. I'm so sorry. But we shorten nicknames a lot. I was thinking about it. 4 out of 5 of my immediate family members go by their shortened name. So I introduce myself as Joe. That's not my birth name. I was born Joanna. Same with my siblings. We all go by shortened versions of our name. And so I was thinking, why is that? Like, why do we have such a thing on names? And, you know, we read about in Shakespeare, it's like, what's in a name? And all this kind of stuff. But they are really important. And this week, I don't know if you are on Facebook, but this week it was reported that Sophia is the world's most popular name. So not just female, like the world's most popular name. It's pretty cool. Do we have any Sophias? GF? My name's GF. Anyway, any Sophies? Lots of Sophies. I know there's like 3 here. So that's the world's most popular name. And that's insane. And I started doing a little bit of research, like, what's the significance of name? And this is what I found. And I laughed so hard when I read this. And then I was reading it just before, and I was like, it's not that funny. But I really hope you enjoy it. So anyway, this is what the internet said. Names have always been needed to identify persons. One name sufficed in the early days when populations were not large, but eventually a second name was needed as the populations increased. An identifying name, usually descriptive, was then added to the first or given name. The identifying name might refer to one's height, John the Tall, high or small, weight, large, gross, Hair color, black, blonde, red, white, etc. Disposition, smiley, etc. Looking like an animal, fox, hair, bear, or relating to the person's occupation. Can you just imagine if you're like just sitting at church and then someone's like, oh, look, like John the Gross is here. Or like John the Bear-like is here. Like, that's awful. But that's what they used to do. So they used to just add like whatever you were like to your name and that became your surname. So that's awesome. But then I started thinking, because this is a sermon. So Jesus has heaps of names. God does as well. In the New Testament, though, we read Jesus is referred to as the Christ, the truth, the head of the church, son of David, son of God, son of man, Lord, Alpha, Omega, word of God, bright morning star, true light, savior, Messiah, king, Emmanuel, rock, bridegroom, prince, and rabbi. And I was like, why is there so many names? Because when someone says Jesus, Jesus Christ, you know who they're talking about. Like, it's not a nickname or something that like changes one Jesus Christ from the other. Like, you know who the Bible is talking about. And the reason is when a name is used for Jesus in the Bible, it's always a response to something. So it's always to fulfill a need that we have. So when we're in need of saving, Jesus is called Savior. When our life's a little bit crazy and unknown, he's called the Rock. And my favorite of all is when we're sinners, he's called Redeemer. And so Jesus is Redeemer for all that sin. And his powers, his redeeming powers, they cover everyone. So another name for Jesus is Friend. He covers everyone. We're all, you know, we can all be a friend of the living God. And that's really exciting. But tonight I just want to talk about that redeeming power and just how far that reaches. And so to do that, I'm going to head back to the Old Testament. Stay with me. I was going to read it, but I'm just going to paraphrase instead. So basically, we're going to hop back in time to Joshua. So Joshua is a great man of the Bible. He replaced Moses, basically. So Moses kind of trained him up, and then when Moses died, Joshua took over in fulfilling the purpose and the goal that God had given them. So Joshua basically was interested in taking over this land, and so he sent in two spies into this new land that he wanted to take. And he was just, they're just going to suss it out, come back, report. Can we invade this place? Like, how many people have they got? Are they on the lookout? Do they know who we are? Things like that. So the spies go in and they're met with this woman all of a sudden who goes by the name of Rahab. It's one of my favorite Bible characters. And so Rahab is a woman of that land. And yet these guys say to her, these two spies, look, we need you to hide us. We're here doing God's work, and you know, we need you right now to lie for us, to partner with us, to hide us so that we can continue to do that. And Rahab, like, in a very risky move, very, very risky move, especially for a woman of that day, decides to take these two spies that are of a different land to her and hide them inside her house. And then when the king and his men come along, she's like, oh no, they were here, but they left. They're like over there, go look. And so she lies to a king, and these spies eventually, you know, go back and they take over. And then Rahab ends up marrying one of them. Rahab gives birth to Boaz eventually. So if you're like a Christian girl, you've probably heard of Boaz, because it's like relationship goals. Am I right, Ruth and Boaz? And so it's like she becomes this the start of this wonderful story. And crazily, right, Rahab ends up in the genealogy of Jesus. There's four women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus, and Rahab is one of them for hiding these spies. But can anyone tell me, does anyone know what Rahab did for a living? Yes. She was a prostitute. So Rahab had sex with men for money. And then she was in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So we're talking about Jesus' redemptive power here. I think that's a pretty good story. There's another one. This time, it's actually in the gospel. So we skip ahead to the New Testament. And we meet the woman at the well. She's a Samaritan woman. Does anyone know that story when I say that title? Probably would have heard of it. Come a lot when we talk about the living water, Jesus is the living water, things like that. It's really awesome. Such a cool story. But basically, this woman, she'd had 6 sexual partners before. So the woman that she was with, the man that she was with at the moment wasn't even her husband. And I don't like mean to sound judgy, whatever. Oh, wasn't even her husband. But like in those days, that was shocking. That was like, ugh. So she basically, 6 sexual partners, she would have been known as like the town slut. And I don't say that as a joke. Like I say that really seriously. I think that's an awful word and a word that we should never use to describe another person and never use to describe ourselves. But that's the kind of idea that this society had of this woman. She was like nothing. You know, she was like as low as you could go. 6 sexual partners, living with a guy that wasn't even her husband. And then she meets Jesus Christ. And what amazes me about this story is that it's the 7th man that she meets that satisfies her. Right? These 6 hadn't done it before, and it's the 7th man that she meets, that's the person of Jesus Christ, that finally satisfies this woman. Oh, that's freaking awesome, right? And so Jesus' blood, his redemption, it stretches really far. You think you're too far from God's love? Rahab, the prostitute in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. The redemption doesn't stop. It doesn't have a perimeter. It's limitless. It's relentless. And it keeps on coming back for us. And that's amazing. So on the cross, when we hear the Easter story, and I know it's nearly Christmas, but on the cross, when we say Jesus took our sin, he took my cross, that's what he did. And he did it for good. And I loved last week. Didn't Beth like smash it last week? Was anyone here? It was so good. I was like, that's my best friend. Yeah, it was pretty sweet. But so she said the words, Jesus loves you so much, he would get up on the cross and die again for you. That's awesome. Like he would do it again. It wasn't a mistake. He doesn't regret it. He doesn't regret saving you. Oh my gosh, that's a line from Twilight. I'm so sorry. I was like, where do I know that from? Okay, Jesus doesn't regret dying on the cross. So he would get up again and do it if he has to, but he doesn't have to, right? So he loves you so much, he died on a cross for you, and when he did it the one time, that's enough. He took away every single sin of the world, every sin that would be, of every person that ever would be, and that one time, the one death, was enough to save every person in this room and in our country and in our world right now and every person that will be. That's pretty cool. Right? And so he would get up on a cross and he would die again for you because he loves you, but he doesn't have to because it's done. And so one of my favorite songs at the moment is called Seas of Crimson. It's really awesome. And it has this line that says, hallelujah, it is finished. And so today I finished my first ever semester of uni, which is pretty exciting. Yeah, thanks. That's awesome. I was like part-time, so not a big deal. But it was pretty awesome. And so this past week, I've been saying a lot, hallelujah, it's finished. All right, this assignment, hallelujah, that one's finished. But do we know what that means? I think we sing that quite a lot, and you would have heard those words before. We sing the word hallelujah quite a little bit. But I'm all over the place. I'm so sorry. But hallelujah, right, is mentioned in the Bible quite a few times. It's in the Psalms and things like that. But when we get to the book of Revelation, it's mentioned 4 times, and it's in the same chapter and the same section of Revelation. It's mentioned only 4 times, and every single time that it's mentioned, it's a battle cry. So this isn't like, this is hallelujah, praise Jesus, for sure. This is hallelujah, praise God and all he's done, yeah? But it's actually in Revelation, it's saying, hallelujah, my enemy just died. You're celebrating the death. And in this case, it's the death of Satan and hell, eventually. Hallelujah, it's finished, is a battle cry. It's hallelujah, that's gone for good. Hallelujah, God just won. And we know that's coming. And so when we say the words, hallelujah, it's finished, about the cross, that wasn't for that time. That wasn't for a certain amount of people. Like, oh, hallelujah, like this week's finished. Hallelujah, that sin's done for now. No, it's done for good. And it's not coming back, all right? Oh, this gets me so mad. I think what I want to challenge you with tonight is If you call yourself a Christian, that's so awesome. That's awesome. You're going to have eternal life with God, right? But you need to live with the confidence as if your sin is done for good. I think sometimes we have like, oh, like, I'm too far gone. Or, you know, like, what if I stuff up and what, I can't just seem to quit it. But it's gone for good. Like, we don't need to keep coming back to God with like, oh, I did that like 10 years ago. I feel so bad. No, it's done. It's good. You go to God. You have true repentance. He forgives you. And then it's gone. And so I read a quote earlier this week. It's not as if he's looking at you and he's just choosing to like ignore the sin, like, okay, yeah, you can come in and we'll just like leave that there. He doesn't see it when he looks at you, because when Jesus died on the cross, he like cut it away from you, that sin. So it's not as if Jesus and God are just like turning a blind eye, like, oh, we'll just like pretend that didn't happen. Like, no, it's gone. He doesn't see it, not because he's like ignorant, because it's not there anymore. Right? Your sin is done and it's good. Hallelujah, it's finished. Hallelujah, it's finished forever. It's gone for good. And that's so awesome. And so when we sing hallelujah, it's finished, like that is a confident battle cry. I used to think when I was like in middle school and I would come here and I would see these people crying during sermons and things, I'd be like, oh, why don't I have that? Like, why can't I just cry like for Jesus and things? And that's so awesome. And when that happens and you have that like turning moment, that's so good. And I'm not discrediting that at all. But that's like, that's not the mark of a Christian. That's not like they've got it and I don't. A strong Christian is someone that's steadfast in their faith. And that's what I want us to become as a youth group together. And that's what I want to challenge you with. But a strong Christian is someone that doesn't live in mountaintops and valley low. Like when things are bad or when things are good and life is like this, the faith isn't, right? Because Jesus isn't, and the character of God doesn't change throughout my circumstances. And so, you know, whether you're like, oh, those people cry, like maybe I'm not a real Christian. Like, oh. No, having confidence in who I am, even in the ups and downs, that's the mark of a strong Christian, I believe. And so it's through the ups and downs, you know, like life circumstances change and sometimes people let us down and sometimes situations let us down, or we didn't really see things clearly. Like I've had situations where I was like, whoa, like this just changes everything, you know, like seeing that person for who they truly are or what they've just done to me, like that changes everything I think about that person. But those situations don't change the character of God, right? And so having a steadfast faith, being confident in your identity in God because of his unchanging character, I think that's the mark of a strong Christian. And that's where I want us to get as a youth group. And I'm really sorry if I'm freaking you out. If you're not a Christian, I want to extend that same thing to you, that God's love, like it redeems you as well. And whether you're even, we were praying before and we're like, whether people are even aware of it, God, like be doing something in their hearts. And I think sometimes we as humans can be like, God, like stay away, keep God at an arm's distance. Or like, you know, we're like, I don't need you right now. I don't want you here. I don't believe in you. But like, God's doing stuff in your life anyway, mate. Like God's more powerful than your words. I'm sorry, but so I believe, you know, even if you don't call yourself a Christian, like I'd love to chat to you after and hear your opinion, but God's love, like it covers you as well. And when he died on the cross, it was for you as well. Whether you want to walk in that, whether you want to accept that or not, that's the truth. God died for you. And his blood is enough, not just for the Christians, not just for like the petty sins. You know, it's like, oh yeah, but like I did this. Rahab was a prostitute. All right? Woman at the well, town slut. It was enough for her. It's enough for you. I'm dead serious. This excites me so much. There is no one too far. You are not too far gone from God's love. You never will be. There's nothing you can do that will make him love you less. There's nothing you can do that will make him not love you at all. You know, we had earlier in the year a hide and seek theme, and we talked about, you know, we need to seek God out and he hides so we can find him. And it just reminded me of Genesis, and like some of the first words that God speaks is after the humans have sinned, after Adam and Eve have sinned, they hide. And the first words that God speaks to them is not punishment, that comes, but it's not punishment, it's where are you? they run, God's already chasing them. You try running from God, God's already after you because he loves you. And his love has already caught up with you. You can keep running away, but it's going to keep going because it's limitless. And that excites me so much. If you don't know that, if you're not a Christian, like, oh man, I'd love to chat to you because it reaches you. It sees you where you're at and it picks you up and pulls you close to him. But if you are a Christian, let's live according to that. We don't have to keep obsessing over what we used to be because God doesn't see us like that. Why would you view yourself as something that God doesn't? You don't know more than him. This is for me as well. I don't know more than him. So why would I look at myself any differently than he would? We often pray we want to see things through God's eyes, but that's we need to view ourselves with God's eyes as well because we're complete in him. Our identity is found in his unchanging nature. And we need to live according to that. I'm just going to pray. We're going to worship some more and then we're going to have like the best time ever at the carnival. But I want to just encourage you, like live like that. And not just on a Friday night. Go out and live the carnival like you're a daughter or a son of the risen king and that his mercies reach you. Live on Monday at school like you're a daughter of the son or of the risen king and live in your exam like you have confidence in your identity in Christ. We live every day like that. That's when we become steadfast Christians, not just in the ups or the downs, not just when we're crying, not just when we're kneeling, all the time, because God's character doesn't change. His mercies are new every day, and his love is limitless. That's so awesome. So would you pray with me? I invite the band back up. Lord Jesus, we just submit ourselves to you. We praise you for who you are and what you've done. We give you all praise and all glory, Lord God. I just ask you, fall on this place. You make your presence known to us. We thank you that you lavishly pour out yourself on us, Lord God. You lavishly pour out your love and your spirit. And we just get to dwell in that. What an honor that is, Lord God. I ask you be so obvious in this place. We be so aware of you. I just pray that you'll be pressing on the hearts of people that you have something to say to. And I believe that's everyone, Lord God, that people would learn more about you tonight through conversation and through this message and through our carnival, Lord Jesus, that we would learn more about your unchanging character. We give you praise and glory, Lord God, and we just thank you for the opportunity we have to sit and dwell at your feet, to sit in your presence, Lord God, so freely, so openly. Lord, you don't need us, but you want us. And we give you praise for that, Lord God. We thank you for including us in your plan. We thank you for including us in this world, Lord Jesus. We want to make full use of that tonight, Lord God. We want to take advantage of the love that you lavishly pour out upon us, God. We love you. We love to be with you. We love singing in your presence, Lord God, whether through worship or just in our lives. And we want to glorify you tonight, Lord God. I pray every word spoken tonight will be glorifying and acceptable in your sight. I pray that conversation would be uplifting and breathing life into this place again, Lord God. And we do declare that this is your place and no one but you is welcome here. So we give you all praise and all glory. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.